I don't see why this should all be arranged for his benefit, but those above clearly know better than me.
Cato, don't be angry. Welcome him. Like you, he is a lover of liberty.
Well, if he got this far, then I suppose it must be allowed. You know, there's a pool over there. Get him to wash his face in there so that all the muck he's acquired in hell will be washed off. When the sun's fully risen, you should see a path up the mountain easily enough.
Here, in Ravenna, finally, I am safe and secure. But I have never forgotten the pain of my banishment from Florence. For years, my feelings were overwhelmingly dark and ugly. Then, slowly, I began to realize that I had to begin afresh.
Thank you, Master.
I only did what was required of me.
No, as always, you did more than that. You took care of me.
It will be different from now on.
In what way?
You must remember that I am a pagan, born before the birth of Christ. There are many things I know and many things I do not know. Up to now, I have been your guide, but now we are starting to move into regions beyond my understanding.
Mine too?
Yes. We will learn together.
Then in the distance, I saw a bright light coming quickly towards us over the sea. And as it got brighter and bigger, I could make out that there was a splash of white on either side and a larger white shape beneath. Slowly, it dawned upon me that the two splashes of white were wings, and the shape beneath a boat, driven by the wings as if by sails.
Kneel again. It is the angel of God. Your eyes will be blinded.
Remember Charon, the ferryman of hell.
How could I forget him?
This is the ferryman of purgatory, bringing souls to the mountain of purification. The boat is driven by his wings, and it is so light and swift it barely touches the surface of the water.
The boat landed, and the angel made the sign of the cross over the passengers as they disembarked.
Go from here.
A moment later, the angel was gone. And the new arrivals stood there, bewildered and uncertain what to do next.
Excuse me!
Excuse me! Oh, excuse me, can you help us? We don't know the best way to the mount from here.
I'm sorry, we've only just arrived ourselves.
But I don't believe it. I can see by your breathing. You're still alive.
Yes, I am.
But you're Dante.
And you are Casella the musician.
I stepped forward to embrace my friend, but there was nothing to embrace. He no longer had any physical substance. So many friends who exist only in my memory.
I remember setting some of your poems to music.
Oh, I remember too, but you died some while back. Why have you only just arrived here?
The angel takes who he likes when he likes, and several times I've been refused passage here. But maybe I was not yet ready. I can only rejoice that I am finally here, not condemned to the darkness of hell.
I wish you could sing for us now.
I wish that too.
What are you all waiting for? Oh. Hurry to the mountain at once. God will only be fully manifest to you when you've let go of all earthly vanities. Hurry, hurry!
I should join the others.
We looked west towards the mountain as Casella and his companions hurried towards it. The sun was behind us now, and my shadow was thrown right in front of me.
Master,
why are you suddenly afraid?
When I moved forward, I couldn't see your shadow.
Did you think I was abandoning you? Shadows are things which we spirits from limbo do not possess.
Standing at the foot of Mount Purgatory, the climb looked so steep that it seemed hopeless.
We're going to need wings.
However willing we are, human reason on its own is simply not enough.
Master, look. Shall we speak to them?
Good idea.
And there along the rocks appeared a crowd of spirits who moved their feet towards us, but so slowly that they hardly seemed to be moving at all.
Please, help us.
by that peace that is waiting eventually for you all. Can you tell us where the mountain slopes down and we can begin our climb?
They looked at us timidly and then stopped warily, staring at each other in doubt like anxious sheep without a shepherd. They had seen my shadow.
Yes, I am still a human being. But please trust that without approval from above, I wouldn't be attempting this climb.
We are the spirits of those who died excommunicated by the Church. But God is more merciful than the Church, and recognized that for all our failings, we trusted in his mercy. Slowly, ever so slowly, we are allowed to make our way up the mountain. Do you see that narrow cleft?
Where?
Up there.
It's barely visible.
The gate is wide that leads to perdition, but the gate that leads to life is small.
Soon we were climbing within the cleft rock, and the sides pressed in upon us. The ground beneath required both feet and hands.
Master! Slow down, please!
Keep calm and follow.
Finally, we reached the rim above the cliff, and the slope began to open out.
I thought this was going to be easier than our descent into hell.
It will become easier the higher we get. We can just make it to that ledge up there, then we can rest.
Progress is never achieved without a struggle.
Just now, I'm glad of the rest.
You'll be even gladder of a rest later on.
When I heard this oddly familiar voice, I looked around, and I noticed a great mass of stone. So we went over, and behind the rocks were people lounging in the shade out of the sun.
I thought I knew that voice. You're Balakwa, aren't you? Cynical as ever.
And you're the same Dante I remember. High-minded and a bit too full of himself.
I'm delighted to find you here.
You sound surprised. Well, that's understandable, given my satirical frame of mind. But I did repent at the last moment. I did recognize there might be a spiritual dimension to life after all. Just in time, too.
So, why are you sitting here in the shade? Shouldn't you be pushing on to your next spiritual challenge?
Ah, my dear friend, what's the point? I wouldn't be admitted to the higher regions if I tried. I've got to wait the length of my life on Earth before I can proceed. I left it all too late, you see.
Late, but not too late.
You always did have a way with words.
We should be moving on.
Your companion is right. If you wait for me, you'll be here a very long time.
Fragments of conversation. Flashes of particular personalities. Memorable shafts of wit and haunting lines of poetry. In the bad dreams of my exile, these things would come to me and I would struggle to make sense of why I had remembered them. They had to be a key to something.
As we climbed further up the mountain, we heard voices singing the Miserere. When we got nearer, the singers clustered around us.
You are lucky to be a soul going on the way to blessedness with all the same limbs you were born with. Will you stop a moment?
Of course, gentle lady.
We are all people who met a violent death, and we were sinners up to our very last hour. But then heaven's light dawned on us and allowed us to see things more clearly, so repenting and pardoning, we came forth from life reconciled with God. So now we are pierced with a desire to behold him.
Oh, I don't recognize you. Can you tell me who you are?
Please remember me. My name is Pia of Siena. Siena made me, but Maremma undid me. And my troubles are all because of the man who gave me his ring and then married me in haste. Very soon after, he regretted his impetuousness and had me killed so that he could seek a more advantageous marriage. In my dying moments, I pardoned him. And so, in the end, I will come to God. In the meantime, pilgrim, lucky enough to still be alive, pray for me.
And for me.
And for me.
All of us travel slowly towards the place we wish to be, but we are thankful to be allowed the chance, pilgrim. Pray for me.
And for me.
And for me.
And for me.
And for me.
Master, can prayers really alter the will of heaven?
I do not think so.
Then what good do they think my prayers will do?
Prayers, I believe, can mitigate a harsh fate, but they cannot change it.
At the moment, this doesn't make sense to me.
I think it's a question for the Lady Beatrice to answer. Not a pagan like me.
I'm not as tired as I was. I'm sure I can go faster, and now the sun is setting, there's more shade.
The sun will need to rise and set again before our journey is done. We may not travel at night, so we need to find a resting place.
Oh.
I know you are impatient, but nothing can be rushed here. Everything needs its own time.
And so, with the sun setting, we found our way to a beautiful, secluded valley.
Era già l'ore che volge il disio ai navacanti, e intenerisce il cuore l'odican detto ai dolci amici, addio.
It was the hour when the thoughts of those at sea turn back to home, and their hearts are full of the goodbyes they said to dear friends.
Virgil led me among those at rest in the valley, and they were the negligent rulers. Not those who had been cruel or despotic, but those who had failed to make use of the opportunities they had. Everything was calm and peaceful, but there was also a deep sadness. As I lay there and sunset melted into darkness, I fell asleep. And in my dream, I saw an eagle poised in the sky. Its feathers were golden and its wings were outspread. And then, after wheeling round a while, it suddenly swooped and carried me up into the fire that burned above. I was so terrified of the stinging flames that I awoke with a start. And there was my master by my side. And the sun had been up more than 2 hours already.
We are close to the gate of purgatory.
And I followed him willingly up a narrow gate with three coloured steps leading up to it. Someone was seated on the topmost step. I lifted my eyes to look at him, but swiftly had to turn away. The naked sword he held reflected the sun's rays back on me, and I could barely see the guardian's angelic form.
Stay where you are. Tell me why you are here.
We are guided by a heavenly lady who has brought us here to this gate. It is the Lady Beatrice I speak of.
Then you may advance.
Here. Take my hand. Now. The first step.
The first step was made of white marble, and so clean I could see myself mirrored in.
The recognition and confession of your sins.
The second was of rock, dark, cracked, and dry.
Contrition and heartfelt regret for all your sins.
And the third and the most substantial step was of porphyry, red as the blood which flows from our veins.
And finally, penance.
And then the angel rose to greet me.
These are the three stages in the forgiveness of sins.
I understand. And I humbly ask forgiveness for all the wrongs I have ever committed.
And you and your guide wish now to enter the realms of purgatory?
I pray that the lock that holds the door shut will be unlocked for us.
I have been instructed by St. Peter that when penitents kneel before me, it is better to err in opening the gate than keeping it locked. Enter. But remember, if you ever look back, then you will find yourself outside the gate once more.
I understand, but...
Come. Let us enter. It was hard going. We paused eventually in a place more solitary than a track through the desert.
So where are we?
Seven terraces are cut into Mount Purgatory at regular intervals. I think we have reached the first.
There are carvings here cut into the marble. They're beautiful.
Scenes telling of those who humbled themselves before God. Most striking was a carving of the Virgin hearing the news that she will conceive the Son of God. She and the angel messenger were so vivid, they seemed alive.
We have always to live with reality. I am an aging man seated at my desk in Ravenna, but I know that to grow beyond despair, we need to find images of hope and beauty. They're not the whole truth, of course. Hope exists beside despair. Beauty exists beside ugliness. To know the best about humanity, we must also learn about the worst.
Look over there to your left.
I could not at first make sense of what I saw. And then, as they came nearer, I made out human forms bent under huge burdens of stone which they attempted to carry. They were crumpled up and distorted by the effort.
I can't bear it! I can't go on!
But this is like something out of hell.
Did you think it was easy to expiate all your sins and move on to a higher plane?
No, of course not. But these people are suffering so much.
And what else do you notice about them?
They're moving forward. In hell, they just went round and round.
For eternity.
So here they suffer.
But they will not suffer this way forever.
So these struggling souls, what are they guilty of?
Pride! Pride in ourselves! Pride in our pedigree! Pride in the deference paid by others! Pride in our achievements way beyond their merit or impact. Unjustified pride, but not curdled into hatred or persecution of others. Vanity, that is another word for our unjustified high opinion of ourselves.
And you, Spirit, what sort of pride was yours?
Well, the best sort of pride, of course. Pride of breeding. I was born into a position of privilege. And as far as I was concerned, everybody else was just there to serve me. It never occurred to me to consider our common humanity. They were scum! And if they hadn't managed to get to my level, that was because they were stupid or lazy. You see these people around me? Frankly, I despise most of them. They're simply not in my league. Artists who kidded themselves they'd done something so original that everybody should fall down in amazement. Men who made lots of money out of grubby commercial transactions and think that somehow made them somebody whom everybody should respect. I could go on, but... I'm sorry. But my burden is very painful. Every time I start looking down on my fellow souls, this is what happens. I need to carry on. I'm told that if I keep on trying to understand why I'm the way I am, it will get lighter. Apparently, it also helps if I stop looking down on my fellow travelers. By the way, I understand that you've had a few problems with pride.
after Florence threw you out?
The proud are laid low, and the humble are exalted.
I've always found that hard to believe.
But it is true.
So are many difficult and ungraspable things.
I am glad you understand.
This is the angel of humility.
And indeed, this angel had a softness and modesty which was in complete contrast to the region we had been through.
I have been proud. I have defended what I should not have defended because I hated looking bad. But it was a face I had to present to those who had exiled me and tried to tell the world I was nothing.
I hope that is not an excuse.
I hope so too. I think it's an explanation, not an excuse.
You may proceed. The steps upwards are very close, and from now on the climb should be easier.
Perché a poco vento così cadi?
Oh, human race, you were born to fly. Why do you fall down to earth at the first breath of wind?
This is the second cornice. Here the sin of envy is punished. Look, do you see those people sitting there in a line along the mountain wall?
They were all covered in nothing but a piece of coarse sackcloth. Each let the other lean against him or her, and they all leant against the rocks.
But that was not what upset me. It was their eyes. As we got nearer, I could see that their eyelids had been threaded and sewn up with thick wire, the way unruly sparrowhawks are sometimes tamed by being deprived of sight. But though they could not see, the spirits wept continuously through their blinded eyes, and tears ran down their cheeks.
I feel uncomfortable. I can see them, but they don't know I'm here.
Then speak to them.
Spirits, I know that in the end you will see the eternal light again. I'm still alive, still a human, though one day I shall follow the same path as you. Speak to me if you wish. Is there something you wish to be remembered?
All of us have things we wish could be forgotten. But these are things we are required to remember over and over again, weeping over them until finally we are forgiven.
What's your name?
I was called Sapir. The name means wise, but I was not wise. I delighted far more in the misfortunes of others than I ever did in my own good fortune. But then that is how envy works. Whatever joys you are given, they mean nothing, because there are others who are richer, happier, better looking, more fortunate than you are yourself.
Where are you from, Sapir?
I came from Siena. And I can remember the moment when I felt the greatest and most shameful pleasure of my life. My political enemies were defeated in battle. They were not just defeated, they were massacred. My own relatives among them. But I cared nothing for that. They were broken and in retreat, and when I saw that with my own eyes, I felt the greatest happiness I have ever known. How terrible is that? Why does the human race set its heart so much on things which cannot be shared?
I cannot answer you.
But you know of the endless struggles that tear our Italy apart.
All too well.
And do you know why I am here and not burning in hell?
Tell me.
It's because of one man, a humble priest, who remembered me in his prayers. He believed I had the ability to understand the feelings which were destroying me, and finally, painfully, see beyond them. Oh, forgive me.
What is there to forgive?
So much loathing for those I thought happier than myself. So much vindictive pleasure when things went wrong for them.
You are not alone in this.
I am surrounded by those who know all too well what I feel. We weep together. But you...
What about me?
You are living.
You envy me that?
You if God allows. I will grow beyond such things.
I have been sent on a journey ahead of my time. But I know pride. And I know envy within myself. I think my pride in my intellect, in my artistry, my belief I know better than others is my principal weakness. But yes. Yes, I have longed for the humiliation of those who humiliated me over and over again.
I wish you well of your journey.
Thank you.
It is time to go.
Some who've read the early parts of my poem say that my hell is filled with the sound of old scores being settled. And my purgatory is not much better. For me, to set something down is a way of understanding it. But I still don't know why I'm particularly haunted by these figures. Blinded, tears running down their cheeks.
The way is becoming easier.
With every circle, you are leaving behind some aspect of your human frailty.
One thing Saphir said to me, I didn't fully understand it.
What was that?
She said, why does the human race set its heart so much on things which cannot be shared?
That is something I do understand. Envy is exclusive. It locks others out and becomes obsessed with material things. But the more of any material thing there is for one man, the less there is for others. Peace and love and knowledge are not like that. The more there is peace and love and knowledge, the more there is to be shared with others.
When we reached the third terrace, suddenly a dark cloud of smoke rolled towards us, plunging us into a darkness blacker than the darkest night.
Master! I can't see in this bitter fog! Where are you?
Stay calm. Take my hand.
But where are we?
We are among the angry, those who turn their love into fury against other people.
I can still see nothing.
Then listen. They are untying the knot of anger.
You live!
I have been granted that privilege.
No doubt it is in your stars.
That's one way of looking at it.
Believe me, the world is blind and you are just like the rest. You attribute all causes to the stars above, as if the decisions you make have nothing to do with you. You blame everything on fate, on circumstance, on compulsion, when you have the freedom to choose.
Però se il mondo presente disvia, in voi è la cagione, in voi si cheggia, e io te ne sarò, or vera spia.
If the world is going astray, then the reason is in you. The reason is within humanity. You can't just blame the circumstances.
Is this the source of your anger?
Trust me, I'm here to tell you the truth. My anger, when I was alive, spilled out against everybody. It was without control, and I punished where I could, wished to punish where I couldn't. I'm Italian, as I guess you to be. You know what atrocities have been committed by man against man because someone did not understand their own bottled up emotions and struck out against anybody they chose to blame for the contents of their own heart.
That is not an exclusive quality of Italy in your time.
Forgive me, I know that.
I speak as one who lived as a young man through the last days of the Roman Republic.
Look around me. You see them from every century, every culture. All of us are trying to untie the knot of anger, the knot which made us violent and destructive. The damage the people around me caused is beyond measure. Often the damage was to themselves as well as others. Slowly, painfully, we try to learn.
We are grateful for the opportunity.
Here in purgatory, I had been sent images of humility to match the images of pride, and visions of generosity to match those of envy. The sickness and the cure existed side by side. Now, as I left those who in life were consumed with anger, visions of peace and contentment rose within me.
If you have lived in exile for many years, as I have, you replay in your mind all the encounters you have had, all the encounters you might have had, and, of course, you attempt to rewrite them. You want them all to go your way. And you have to resist that temptation. You have to try to rise above yourself to see beyond the petty and the immediate. Which, of course, is what my poem is constantly attempting to do.
The fogs began to clear, and our eyes could see the setting sun as the shadow of night began to creep up the slope of the mountain.
Blessed are the peacemakers.
The angel is giving us permission to ascend to the next level.
I feel very privileged to see what I'm seeing.
Your eyes are open to what you are seeing. That is the main thing. We have reached the next circle, but night is falling. Come, let us sit.
So, what offence is being purged here?
Sloth. Those without ill intention who still fail to use their capacity for love in any fruitful way.
Is every human failing a sign of love gone wrong?
Every failing where there is a hope of redemption. Of course, there is natural love, the instinctive love all creation feels for its proper place within God's scheme of things. It is a natural bond which exists between a creator and the objects which the creator has created.
There are no animals. No birds, no fish in purgatory.
Only the human race has the choice. And, of course, the angels. Otherwise, there would be no rebel angels in hell.
So, you make a choice, and you are punished or rewarded accordingly?
Not on Earth, of course, where evil thrives among the powerful and successful. But afterwards, those who reside in hell have no chance of escape or renewal. They are trapped in the feelings they died with. Here in purgatory, a slow and painful process of rebirth is possible.
And is this about love?
Yes, it is. Elective love.
Everyone has a choice?
Oh, yes. That explains how the mountain is organized. The first three cornices concern pride, envy, and anger, where that love has been twisted towards the harm of our fellow human beings. But there is a spark there. A spark of love, which you would never find in hell.
And now, as we rest?
We are among those orientated towards the good.
But without any energy behind it.
Exactly.
And above?
They are orientated towards the good, but...
But?
You will see. Let us just say that they pursue love with too much vigor and lose sight for a time of the real love.
But that is better.
Please, wait and see. I'm sure the Lady Beatrice will explain further.
I can't imagine anyone explaining things better than you.
I'm afraid that means you are not yet high enough up the mountain. It's time to sleep.
I often think about my wife. When I went into exile, I understood why she remained behind in Florence. Her family were in a position to protect her, and I was not. I miss her, and I miss my sons even more. But somehow, although they remain part of my life, I found no place for them in my poem. The categories of love are undoubtedly very complicated.
What's happening? What's that babble of voices?
Who are you? Sorry, can't stop.
But please, just tell me who you are.
Oh, we are the Slothful, formerly Slothful. Now we spend our time rushing about all over the place.
Why?
Why? Because we are seeking absolution for our spiritual laziness. Look, I'm very sorry, but I have to go. We haven't a moment to wait.
But you don't realise I'm still alive.
Oh, that's very interesting.
I put in a good word for you. I could make sure you're remembered.
But that's very kind, but really, I can't stop. I wasted so much time on Earth, and now I can't bear to lose a second.
But I
don't want to be rude, but I must be going. Goodbye.
Later, the next guardian angel allowed us entry to the sixth circle. Ahead of us, we saw a wondrous tree hung with luscious and sweet-smelling fruit. A clear spring dropped from the rock above, watering the leaves. A throng of spirits hurried by. Negli occhi era ciascuna oscura e cava, pallida nella faccia e tanto scema, che dall'ossa la pelle s'informava.
Each one of them was dark and hollow-eyed, pale-faced and so wasted away that their skin took the shape of their bones. Their eye sockets seemed like rings without any gemstones within. It was hard to recognize their faces as human.
Just a moment. What is it? I think I know you. Yes, of course I do. You're Dante Alighieri. You don't recognize me, do you?
Not from your face.
Of course not.
But I do from your voice. You're Farese Donati.
Please. Try not to stare too hard at this mess which was once my face.
You were a talented poet, and I wept when I saw your face in death. I grieve all over again to see it so disfigured. Why have you been stripped down to bare bone?
That's the price we pay. In life, all of us were consumed with gluttony. Our appetites were out of control.
But then, why do you hurry past this tree laden with fruit?
The scent of the fruit and the spray which covers the foliage kindles in us hunger and thirst. But it's only through hunger and thirst that we can work our way back to holiness. And so we go round and round this ledge. Not once, but again and again. Each time our pain is renewed. I say pain, ought to say solace, because that tree also makes us think of the tree upon which our Lord died for us, and reminds us that there is a way out of our obsession, and in time we may achieve it.
I pray you will. I must be honest and say I expected to find you in another place than this.
Hell, do you mean?
Yes.
My wife, my widow, has prayed for me. She's a good woman, and she saw more good in me than anyone else ever did. And so, I have been judged capable of redemption. I cannot stay any longer. Farewell!
Farewell, Donati!
I've always believed that you should try to discover the potential in those you do not like and cast a clear eye over those you do like. Donati is a case in point, a poetic rival, a greedy bastard, but yet there was something there. Exile gives you a great deal of time to think about these things.
We are coming now to the seventh and last cornice. Soon we'll reach the top of the mountain.
You're sad.
It's not important.
No, I want to know.
Our journey together will soon be over. There's no point in regret. That is what is going to happen.
But I...
Suddenly, we were surrounded by flames. We had to cling to the narrow outward edge.
I'll go in front. Be careful not to lose your balance.
I hadn't expected this.
Because we encountered so many flames in hell?
Yes. And now we're in the highest level of Mount Purgatory.
Careful. Keep to the edge. The souls here are not like those in hell. In the end, they will be purified by these fires, but in the meantime, flames can still burn.
The flames reddened around me, and groups of souls circled the mountain in opposite directions. They greeted each other briefly, then swept past each other like passing flocks of birds.
I am Guido Guinizelli, judge, lawyer, and poet of Bologna. Huh.
I know your love lyrics.
When I wrote about love, I had some inkling of the divine. That is why I am here. I loved women and celebrated my physical pleasure with them. But on earth, I never moved beyond that. I loved one woman, and then I loved another and another. I valued sexual gratification more than I valued what it might put me in touch with. And so I circle here within the burning flames until finally I will be pure.
And those who go the other way, the ones you briefly greet?
They love their own sex, but with the same short-sighted physical passion as I did. I burn. I must move on. We must move on.
I realize now that for me, the love one human being feels for another has always been the key to understanding. I fell in love with Beatrice when she was a girl. I never slept with her. We never even spoke. But her beauty inspires everything I write. Is that lust sublimated, or a glimpse of the real truth behind existence?
Shadow of night creeps over the mountain again. Your own shadow is swallowed up by it. It is time to rest.
We made our pillows out of stone stairs. Above us, the great stars shone brighter than I have ever seen them. I slept, my head filled with dreams of what I hoped was to come. Then, with daybreak, I awoke.
Good morning. I trust you slept well, my son.
My son. That's the first time you've called me that.
Quel dolce pomi che per tanti rami cercando va la cura dei mortali.
The sweet fruit which humanity anxiously searches for on any number of branches will today bring your hunger to an end.
Again, you're sad.
We've been companions.
You are my master and my friend.
No longer look to me for a word or sign. You see the sun shining on your face. You see the bushes, the fresh grass, the flowers. Your will is free. Upright and whole.
Thank you, Master.
And I advanced into a beautiful forest, sweet-smelling, fanned by breezes and full of the song of birds. This, surely, was the Garden of Eden before the fall. And through it ran a stream. By the stream stood a young girl singing and picking flower after flower from the blooms which coloured her path. She smiled at us.
You are both new here.
New, and still lost in wonder.
You should know that this holy plateau is no ordinary garden. Those who in ancient times wrote poems about a fabled age of gold were dreaming of this place. It's the place of innocence in which mankind began. It is full of seeds which bear fruit which are never seen upon earth. And this water comes from no ordinary source. It issues from a sure and steady spring which is replenished by the will of God. And here it pours out into two companion streams which flow side by side. Here on this side is Lethe, which has power to take all the memory of sin away. And on the other side, it becomes Eunoe, which brings recall of all good you've ever done in the world.
I long to taste of both.
You must taste of both for it to work. But you are not yet ready. You must have patience.
I looked at my master.
He had said nothing all this while, and his far-seeing eyes were sad.
Pilgrim, trust this girl. She is the genius of this place.
I have nothing more to say.
I looked up, and the sky was filled with great rainbow streamers of colour. Not one rainbow, but seven, stretching away as far as the eye could see, throwing their glory all over the heavens and sparkling over the waters of the stream. There were sounds. There were figures. There were half-glimpsed images of the prophets of the Old Testament, of the beasts of the apocalypse, of angels, of dancing. The images whirled in my head. Then there was a peal of thunder. I looked around to my master for support, for explanation. But he was gone. And then I looked up, and she was there.
You are Beatrice, the Lady Beatrice, who sent my beloved master to bring me here.
I looked in her face for welcome and reassurance, but her face was severe, more like an angry mother with her child than anything else. I started to cry.
Listen, angels of mercy, so that this weeping man can understand why he still needs to suffer, still needs to learn. This man had such potential when he was young, but the fertile ground went uncultivated and bad seed was sown in it. While I was alive, I was able to point him in the right spiritual direction. But once I had left the earth, my image faded in his mind, and he allowed himself to be led astray into false paths. Paths of ambition, paths of political success, paths of material enrichment. I came back to him in dreams, but he still ignored what I had to say. He had lost his inspiration. He had lost a meaning to his life. He came close to suicide. And so there was no remedy left but this, to beg the Almighty to let him undertake this journey, through hell and up Mount Purgatory. He needs to pay the price.
So what does Beatrice mean to me? I often ask myself that question. She was a beautiful young Florentine woman I fell in love with from afar when I was still very young. I followed her like a sick puppy. When she died, still young, and married to someone else, I thought my life was over. It wasn't, of course. I married, I had children, I had a career. But as I got older and my political future collapsed into dust, what did I have left? I was close to killing myself. And I found two reasons for going on. One, I was a poet. And two, I had once loved Beatrice.
It seemed very cruel that you were taken away.
Then you have not understood. My death should have told you that life is short, and all sorts of earthly and mortal beauty have a very brief lifespan. It should have weaned your heart away from earthly things and directed it towards what lies beyond.
Lady Beatrice...
What do you want to say?
I have done many foolish things in my life. I have listened to voices which told me that I was powerful, that I had the potential to go far, that I could see through all the nonsense to the way in which things worked in this world of ours. Those voices led me astray.
You still don't understand.
No, I always wanted to find the truth.
So why did you follow so many lies?
No, you don't understand how persuasive people can be. How much they They flatter you and make you feel important.
You are no longer a child.
But I...
You are no longer a child. What you have done is your responsibility.
Lady Beatrice, please.
What you have done is your responsibility.
Please.
No more.
You are even more beautiful than my memories of you.
You have so much still to learn.
I looked up into her beautiful face, and I was overwhelmed by shame and remorse. I fainted away. Then the girl who presided over this earthly paradise was by my side. She led me to the water and gently pushed me under.
Drink deep.
Then she helped me up, and around me I heard glorious music. I had drunk of the water of Lethe, and all memory of my sins had been washed from my brain. And then again I saw my Lady Beatrice standing alone. I felt more able to meet her gaze, which was no longer so fierce as it had been.
I cannot remember when I did anything else except follow the higher path you showed to me.
You have drunk of the waters of Lethe, remember?
My soul feels lighter because of what I've been through. But I still feel no certainty of purpose.
You have still to taste the waters of Eunoe.
The two streams ran from one spring like the Tigris and the Euphrates, and then parted like two friends that linger before saying goodbye.
Again, drink deep.
It is impossible to convey how delicious the waters of Eunoe felt. I was in touch again with what was good about my life.
Are you ready?
I hope so.
This is the last part of your journey. And in some ways, the hardest.
Lady, believe me. I am ready.
I came back from drinking the holy waters of Eunoe, feeling as if I had been born again. I felt like a tree which has grown new foliage, and I felt pure and ready to mount to the stars.
Io ritornai dalla santissima onda, rifatto, siccome piante novelle, rinovellate di novella fronda, puro e disposto a salire alle stelle.
In the Divine Comedy, Purgatorio, by Dante Alighieri, Dante the Poet was played by Blake Ritson, the older Dante by John Hurt, Virgil by David Warner, Beatrice by Hattie Morahan, and the girl was Cassie Layton. The souls in Purgatory were Sam Dale, Steve Toussaint, Michael Burtonshaw, Carolyn Pickles, Priyanga Burford, Clive Hayward, and David Cann. The Divine Comedy is dramatized by Stephen Wyatt. Sound design is by Caleb Knightley. And the directors are Mark Beebe and Emma Harding.
La gloria di colui che tutto muove, per l'universo penetra e risplende in una parte più e meno altrove, nel ciel che più della sua luce prende, fui.
The glory of him who moves everything shines throughout the universe, but sometimes more in one region and less in another. I have been in the heaven which receives more of his light than anywhere else.
It was in the year of our Lord, 1300, and I, Dante Alighieri, was 35 and about to complete the last part of my journey into paradise.
It was midday, and I was standing by my Lady Beatrice's side on the top of Mount Purgatory. She turned and lifted her eyes towards the sun and stared at it steadily. I allowed myself to follow her gaze. I was able to look into the sun longer than I could have done on Earth, but then it became lighter and lighter, as if full daylight had been added to full daylight and a second sun had been put in the sky.
Lady Beatrice, I...
Say what you want to say.
Just now my eyes were dazzled, but I...
But you could look into the light longer than you expected.
Yes.
You have drunk of the waters of Lethe, and you have forgotten your past sins. You have drunk of the waters of Aunoe, and recalled every time in your life when you have done good. That is why your sight is becoming stronger.
I've seen hell. I've seen purgatory. I still can't believe that I'm about to visit paradise.
You needed spiritual help, and through me it has been granted to you.
I still keep asking myself, is there presumption in what I have made in my poem of my first love? A beautiful woman I only loved from afar, who died very young. I have to remind myself that it was through my feelings for her that I first began to understand there might be something transcendental in human love, a hint of a higher meaning to my life. No, the real presumption is trying to describe paradise.
Forgive my ignorance, but, what happens now?
We leave the mountaintop and ascend through the nine circles of heaven.
And then?
Beyond are things you cannot hope yet to comprehend. Beyond lies the Empyrean, the highest and purest heaven, closest to God himself.
My mind struggles to grasp this.
Any human being's mind would struggle, because it is beyond humanity's conception.
I don't even know how we can begin our ascent.
We are carried there by the principle which rules the universe. We surrender ourselves to the natural order and leave behind all the doubts and fears and frailties that stop mankind from achieving what it could. Shall we go?
La concreata e perpetua sette del dei forme regno cen portava, veloci, quasi come il ciel vedette.
The innate and unending thirst for that kingdom which is created in God's image bore us swiftly upwards. It was as if you only had to look up into the sky and you were in motion. Beatrice gazed upwards, and I gazed on her.
We reached up towards the sphere of the moon, the first sphere of the heavens.
Lady?
What is it?
Just a small question.
Ask it.
The moon. It should be perfect, shouldn't it? But it has dark spots on it, visible to even those down there on Earth. God can create perfection, so... Why the spots?
That is a good question. But it is not a small question. It is a question about the whole of God's universe and why there is imperfection. Why didn't God just create a universe uniformly and glowingly perfect?
Forgive me, but...
But what?
I'm providing an answer to my own question.
And what is that answer?
God must delight in diversity. There's nothing uniform about the world that God has created for us. Am I being foolish?
You are becoming less foolish with every moment.
I look around me, and I think I see human faces. They must be reflections of something. They can't be real.
You take them for illusions, And these are probably the most real existences you have ever seen. In this first sphere, the sphere of the moon, are those who made their holy vows but failed to fulfill them.
So, there is...